If you're a fan of the Resilient Recruiter podcast, I've got exciting news. I'm hosting a special event for recruitment business owners in London on September 17th and 18th, and I'd love you to join us. If you want to achieve your full potential, you need to surround yourself with the right people. At the Recruitment Coach Live Summit, you'll get to meet some of my podcast guests in person, hang out with us, and share ideas. Some of the folks I've interviewed on the show will either be attending or speaking at the summit. Early bird pricing is still available. Register now by visiting recruitmentcoach.com/summit. Are you open to fresh ideas that could increase your billings by 200 to 300% in 6 to 12 months? Then join us in St. Pete this October for an unforgettable event. You'll learn our proven framework for building a seven-figure business that you love. You'll also discover advanced strategies and exclusive insights that aren't available anywhere else. Plus, you'll leave with a personalized step-by-step roadmap for getting from where you are now to where you'd ideally like to be. For details and to register, visit recruitmentcoach.com/summit.
There's always people going after your business. There's always a manager out there saying, man, I don't have enough candidates from Vince. Maybe we should open this up to other recruiters.
Welcome to the Resilient Recruiter Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Whitby, and today we're joined by Vince Dunn. Vince is the president of Dunn Search Group, an executive search firm based in South Carolina. For the last 12 years, he's specialized in recruiting salespeople for biotech companies, and he's helped build out some of the most important companies in cancer testing. Vince, welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here, Mark.
Fantastic. So I'm trying to think of how we first met. I think I sent you an email that you responded to and we struck up a conversation. What's your relationship to the Resilient Recruiter podcast?
Yeah, I got an email and I connected with you on LinkedIn and started watching a couple of your podcasts and we connected that way. So I reached out and said, yeah, I'd be definitely interested in being on the show and giving some takes of how I run my business. And I was completely interested. So yeah, I that's how we met. And
beautiful. Yeah. So Vince, tell me the story of how you got into recruiting.
Yeah, I was in the insurance world for a long time. And back around 2008, when the bubble burst, I wanted to get into something else and wanted to get out of Atlanta. We moved to Greenville, South Carolina, and I was looking for jobs, and I still had my license, my insurance license. Everything was fine as far as, monthly renewals and everything coming in. So it gave me time to search and find out what I wanted to do because I didn't want to sell insurance anymore. I didn't like it. And I found a recruiting job in the medical field. And I thought, wow, I really thought I'd have an interest in, as you get older, I don't know, the medical field sounded interesting to me to learn about diseases. And I just was interested. So I applied for this job and went into this firm and a bunch of nice people I thought I could learn from and be around full time. That was important to me as I was in my early 30s. But I wanted to be in a culture that I could, thrive in and enjoy. And I really liked the people. And I thought, wow, this is a good fit. I came in and I loved it. I was the first, my brother gave me this advice. He said, in a new career, if you're really going to do this, you're diving into this, you be the first one there and the last one to leave, at least for the first 6 months. And I did that. And, I loved it. I would skip lunch. Like, I loved it. And
that's awesome.
That's how it began.
What do you think? Well, so I want to make a comment and then ask a follow-up question. So the comment is about like putting in the hours early in a new career. And that's unpopular advice these days, I think. And, but I agree 100%. I think I'm all for, having balance and actually maybe the better word is life work integration, but family is important. Health is important, friendships and all that kind of stuff. But when you're trying to learn something new, if you can shorten the learning curve by just doubling the number of hours that you're working, right? It means that in 6 months, if you can do 12 months work within 6 months, then you're going to be, you know, that much farther ahead as far as being able to get good at something new. So I think for people listening who are early on in their recruiting career, now is the time to really put your foot on the gas pedal and try and like put the work in at this stage, because what you're doing is setting yourself up for success in the long term throughout the entire rest of your career. So Vince, why do you think you loved it straight away? What is it about this job?
With the firm I was with, see, I'm like 90% in the cancer space.
Okay.
I do dabble in women's health too, like prenatal. I do an array of like diagnostics, which is a division all in itself. But when I was with that firm, they had device clients, they had pharmaceuticals, they had diagnostics, they had all these different divisions. And I was kind of diving into all of it, and it was just very interesting. I was interested in medicine. I had interviewed for pharmaceutical jobs when I got out of college, and I wanted to do that early on. It didn't pan out because the company had a hiring freeze, and I never got to start for a major pharmaceutical company. But I've always had the interest in that. And then, I dove in once I got involved with a cancer testing client, and I just fell in love with it and learning about the disease. We all have people in our lives that are touched by cancer.
That's true.
I think 1 in 3 men and 1 in 2 women get cancer. And so, you know, I wanted to learn about that. And the people I was meeting at that time were extremely impressive. So, you know, you would meet all these folks on LinkedIn or these call sheets or whatever, when you would call them. And I was learning so much from them, and I would just have these long conversations, and I fell in love with it. And on top of it, I'm strangely competitive. So you walk in, there's a bunch of new people too. You got all the people that have been there. I'm so competitive. I'll race my mom to the mailbox, you know, as a kid. I'm just constantly competitive. I played ball in high school, and you know, even to this day, you know, if I go play tennis or pickleball or golf or something, I'm highly competitive. So, you know, there's that too. And so I didn't want to be so far behind everyone. So it's a combination of, you know, wanting to be successful, wanting to learn the business and not, you know, really dive in and know what you're talking about. And so I learned from a lot of people, and a lot of these folks were nice enough to have these conversations with me. I mean, I talked to a gentleman in Atlanta that we happened to go to the same college together, and he was like 20 years older than me. And he sat on the phone with me for an hour, and it was my first month, and he had been in the industry for 25 years. And he just kept feeding me, you know, information and knowledge, and countless people were like that. So a lot of it's, you know, personality too. And, you know, you start growing with these conversations, and the interest just keeps on coming and coming, and then your numbers are coming in, and then the checks are coming in. And it was just there is no better place for me that time.
A couple of things I'm picking up here, Vince. One is curiosity, and the other is competitiveness. So the curiosity piece, I think you have to be really good at this, you have to be genuinely interested and curious about the industry and about your clients and candidates, and ask tons of questions. And that's the best way to learn a market, but also to gather intelligence, leads, information, you know, and is by talking to as many people as possible and having those in-depth conversations. So curiosity, but then where's the competitiveness come from? What do you think that's all about?
Well, you know, when I was young, I was a big baseball player, and that carried to high school too. But I've always been highly competitive. I, you know, whether we were playing hockey or whatever it was, I have an older brother, and I often had to play with them. If my father was coaching, he would only coach if they would let me on the same team. So I had to play with older kids. So when I got around the kids my age, I felt like I had to really kind of take the lead. So I was just always competitive. And even with work, when I was in insurance sales, I worked for Aflac for years, and it's highly competitive. And, you know, in Georgia, that's where they're based, and that's where I lived. And there were thousands of reps, and you know, I was in the top five.
Wow.
Few years.
The top and five I'd only done or the 5%?
Top five.
Wow.
I had landed a couple of giant accounts, and you know, it was cool. I liked it, but the difference between insurance and recruiting that I just loved. I like helping people.
Sure.
And I felt with recruiting, I felt like I was helping people more. And, you know, you're helping people get that great career where they want to make a move or they're unemployed. I felt like I was giving them an opportunity more than I'm selling something. It's like, hey, interested in a new job? No, I'm not. I'm good. Cool. All right. Anyway, I wasn't selling them an insurance policy that they might not need, you know? Yeah. So that was the difference for me too.
I totally get that.
But the competitiveness 100%. Comes from sports and,
yeah.
And then in sales, transferred to sales and, you know, wanting, I have goals in life and, you know, I got two kids. I want to provide for them. We like to do nice things. So, you know, it's all about the grind. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, all right, Vince. Awesome. And so at what point did you decide to start your own shop?
Well, I noticed that people were leaving that firm 8-10 years after their career had started. I left 2.5 years later.
Okay.
And the reason why I left, and they're nice people, and I learned so much, and I'm very grateful for that opportunity. I would not be where I am today without it. And but I noticed, you know, I was getting my own clients. No, nothing was handed to me.
Yeah.
And I thought it was because Vince will figure it out. You know, he's doing well. He's rookie of the year. He's, you know, I'm hitting all my numbers every quarter, and it's a matter of, oh, let's give it to people. You know, let's give the help to the people that need it. And it's like, he'll figure it. And I felt like I deserved it. Right. So I was getting my own clients anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So why am I splitting my business?
Mm.
And so I felt like, I'm ready. I've got enough clients out there of people that want to do business with me. I can mm-hmm. wait the year of the non-compete and mm-hmm. and still go out here and get business because, you know, the money's good. And so, you know, 2.5 years, which I think it's the quickest that I know. I also have a friend that's outside of my agency in my space. We're kind of like competitors. Well, we are competitors, but we're also friends. And
yep.
You know, he's been a leader in this space, and then I came in, and I kind of, you know, we're kind of toe and toe, and he helped me too. You know, he gave me guidance and gave me the courage to walk, because it was kind of scary. You know, you're making really good money anyway, and you got benefits, and then it's like, do I open my doors? And I was ready. I'm a chance taker. Let's go. And so I did it. And they say year one, you know, you'll do 100 if you're lucky, you know, you'll 100 grand if you're lucky. And, you know, my year one, I did over 600.
Wow. That's a phenomenal first year.
Yeah. A lot of it's luck. A lot of it's just relationships though. You know, I had great relationships and people were always willing to help me. And I think that came from just listening and just wanting to learn. But also providing, I mean, people know that I came to them with opportunities. They knew I had them. So they trusted me, you know?
Absolutely. Vince, I don't believe it's luck. If it was a flash in the pan and then you did great and then you've never done as well since then, you might say, well, you know, you just landed a couple of really fantastic accounts and they were growing. But then, you know, I'm assuming that wasn't your last successful year, right? So
No. Yeah. It wasn't the best year, but it was certainly not. It wasn't the best year, but certainly wasn't the worst year. It was a great year though.
Yeah.
And I've been doing this 11 years now. So
11 years, fantastic.
I'm so sorry, Mark. I've been owning my own business for 11 years.
11 years.
So
yeah.
2.5, almost 11 and a half. I'm almost in 14 years in recruiting.
Got it. Okay, fantastic. So just a quick point on your friend who's also a competitor. It's really interesting because we have a community of recruiters who come together to share ideas and, you know, best practices and help each other. And I think that's quite rare because a lot of recruiters are very insular and they don't want to talk to anyone who they could be a competitor. And, you know, they're worried about someone taking their business away or what have you. It's a kind of scarcity mindset. So tell me about your mindset about being friends with someone who's in the exact same space as you.
It's a great question. I'm glad you asked. Even the people I used to work with at that company, I see them downtown. We see them, sometimes there's a happy hour, awesome bar downtown where we get snacks and see everybody. And I love seeing those guys. And yeah, they right. don't want me to know what they're working on. And a lot of times they know what I'm working on because it's not a secret in the diagnostic world and who's got that expansion, because they're right. if they're trying to get it too, then they find yeah. out, oh, it's Vince Dunn's. But then you have smaller accounts that you don't want them to know.
Sure.
And even though he is my friend, he's not a buddy to where I call him and say, hey, I just got this account, and he doesn't tell me either. But sometimes we're not afraid of it though, because there's a mutual respect. And if I know he's got something, I'm not going after it. There's plenty of business. Another guy in the industry right. told me there's plenty of business out there for everyone. And, I live by that. I don't go after, if another client's using another recruiter, hey, if you're loyal to them and they're exclusive, good for you, man. That's awesome. I love people like that. I want my clients to be like that. And, 95% of them seem to be that way, but hopefully that makes a little bit of sense. But yeah, I don't mind it though. There's also a level of competition where it's like, hey, if you want to come after my stuff, go after it. Maybe if my relationships are not good enough to where they want to stay with me, then maybe I need to get some other accounts anyway, but
interesting.
I seem to have some really loyal people, and so do my competitors.
Fantastic.
So
Vince, let's talk about, so it was 11 years ago, you set up your own business, you did 600K, which, I mean, think of how much inflation we've had in the last couple of years. That's worth more today than, that's an even bigger number today, right? But why do you think you were able to do so well, like straight out of the gate?
And my fees were so much lower then. I look back now and I'm like, I mean, because I was starting out. So if someone was like, hey, will you do these for a flat fee of 10K or something? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm fine with lower fees depending on the level of how many you're going to get, But going back to your question, Mark, the question was how do you
think you managed to pull that off? Oh, 600K in
yeah,
year
great.
One?
The clients I landed weren't hiring 1 to 5 reps. I landed expansions.
Got
it's hard
it.
To
okay.
do. And it's not for everyone. And, when you're starting out in the recruiting world, hey, if you can get a client hiring 2 or 3 people and you get that, like that's great. I landed one group that was hiring. The guy called me and he said, we need to hire 70 people. And I need to have them starting in 2 months. Can you do it? And I'm, of course.
Wow, that's sick.
Yeah, and he wanted to negotiate a low fee. That was the fee. Fee actually turned out to be really good. But I told him, I said, can you do it though? I'll provide the interviews, but you're going to have to hire very fast. And he was like, yeah, I'm good. I'm going to trust in you. And I literally had to give him 3 people for each job, and they had to hire quickly. But I landed expansions, a lot of them. And a lot of times I'm dealing with startups, mm-hmm. and that startup ends, they either sell or they go out of business, and those leaders go to another startup, and if they really like you, they'll call you again. And so it's a lot of loyalty.
Brilliant.
Man, you gotta hope for that loyalty.
Okay. So let's talk about this. The key, it sounds like, or one of the things you're good at is winning those expansions and then building the sales team, and then the leader might move to another organization. And because you did such a good job from the last business, now you've got, a new opportunity to do that. So that's a brilliant idea. How do you land those I understand once you've got the reputation and you've done it a few times and people give you repeat business or what have you, but how did you do it at the beginning when you didn't have those contacts?
That's where I feel like a little bit of luck is okay. But the first one I ever landed on the phone with a gentleman, Greg, he knows who he is, great guy. He was working for a company in Manhattan, and they were, you know, they had cancer tests. It was a startup. He wanted 10 people. And, you know, I cold called him, and, you know, I would come in the mornings in the beginning of my career, and I would just do a certain amount of cold calls, you know, and, you know, he needed, I think it was like 15 people, and we had to negotiate a fee now to get that exclusive, you know, because you want the exclusive. And so yeah. I negotiated that. I got the 15 jobs. And listen, if you don't produce in a week or two, I mean, I have to produce that day. I'm just crazy like that when it comes to producing and people knowing. I mean, I work a lot, and most people don't do that, and that's fine. You know, you have to have that work balance thing going. You know, if I get an expansion, I work around the clock. I mean, you could probably message me sometimes at 2 a.m. I'm searching. It's crazy.
Wow.
Now it's very rare and odd, but it works for me. You know,
I have so many questions, Vince.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fail. That's a great. So one of the things I like to do in these conversations is elicit people's belief system, right? And you just listen out for, you know, things. So like, I'm not going to fail. That's ingrained in you, right? And that's that competitiveness again, that's a very powerful belief to have. So I like that. So let me just break this down a little bit. So you said that the first one was 15 people exclusive, and you got it through a cold call, and you mentioned that you had a certain number of cold calls you would make. You'd come in the morning, you'd make a certain, what is that number? And is that a formula you stick to, or has it evolved over time?
No, it doesn't. It's nothing I stick to. That whole comes down to the being the first person there in the morning thing. And I would come in at 7 because these CEOs are up early. I've listened to a lot of your recruiters on your podcast, and a lot of these people are up way earlier than me. You know, they're up at 5 a.m. And I used to get up in the beginning of my career. I used to play basketball at 6 a.m. at this one gym, and the same 15 guys would show up every morning, and we'd play basketball. We'd be at the office by 7:30. And I'd be ready to go. And I would legitimately pick up the phone and call CEOs, VPs, and ask for the business. And so, but the good thing about what I did, and I'd say my goal would probably be to reach 10 people before 9 o'clock, okay. You know, and then I got to get started on my searches. And so, okay. But
fantastic. So I used to teach, because I used to teach cold calling back in the day when I first started my training company. And one of the philosophies was 10 before 10, but you were doing 10 before 9.
It's some days it wouldn't work, right? But some days I'd have a great call on my second call. And then I'd say, you know what? That's good. I've got 4 jobs I got to work. I'm getting to work.
Right.
And then if I finish my stuff early, I got enough candidates in the pipeline today. I feel good about myself. Maybe I'll do something in the afternoon. CEOs don't answer their phone in the afternoon. But the good thing about what I did that was really successful that takes time is after my first expansion with them, I went to the next client, or I went around saying, hey, guys, I was the recruiter who did this. Do you have a need? I couldn't tell you how many people said, yes, I have 3 openings. Before you know it, I've got 10 good companies on my book of business that I completed, and therefore it led to bigger stuff. And then I started landing the cutting edge stuff, and that really grew my name in the industry, you know, in a great way. And there's been stuff that I wanted I didn't get, and there's totally things that I probably made mistakes on earlier in my career that I probably should have, you know, maybe bit the bullet or bit my tongue. And, you know, so for me, it's, you know, about being humble and making sure that you build that book and you go to the next company and just say, hey, here's what I've done. Do you have an interest? And it works for me, you know, and I'm in it 14 years. So people know me, you know,
This is smart, Vincent. And for sure, like one of the strategies we teach is you need to have case studies that you can share in order to win new business, right? Yeah. And so, you know, think about the most successful projects or searches that you completed that really were had a big impact that are going to, if you share the highlights of that with a prospective client, it's going to get their attention because they perhaps want to achieve something similar with their business, right? So it's a smart strategy for sure. So, okay, I understand the 10 before nine or, you know, in the cold calling routine every morning, 7:30, getting on the phone, reach CEOs. And if you speak to enough people, you're going to come across opportunities, right? And then you've taken, you've grabbed, and that's where the luck comes in. But you, you know, if you hadn't been making those cold calls, you wouldn't have gotten lucky, right? So, you know, so you, you made the calls, you got lucky, quote unquote, you picked up this small expansion, 15 people, and then you had, you achieved that, and then you had something to talk about with the next prospect and so on, and you kind of grew it from there. I want to circle back to this crazy 70 hires in, you know, in a month, because you said you wanted to present three candidates for every one they hire. So that means essentially you were, you set up 210 interviews in a month.
Oh, yeah.
How did you pull that off? Because that's what, what's, I think the strange thing about what you do, Vince, is like you, what you're describing where you're working around the clock and you're like answering the, like you're working at 2 a.m. Yeah. I guess my question would be, I understand why you like that kind of business, but why wouldn't you get help? Why wouldn't you, you know, hire a couple of folks who can help you to deliver that piece of work rather than have to do it all yourself?
Actually, I do, but I still, I still like to do it myself. And I'm not up at 2 a.m. every morning, but if I've got an important expansion and I have not, I feel like I didn't get that great candidate that day, it eats at me all night. And so I'll, if I'm watching the hockey game, I will pick up my laptop and there's no reason why I can't look at searches and stuff while I'm watching a game. So, you know, for me, it's just that it's not even competitive as much as it's taking care of my client. Like, I love that my clients are loyal and I wish some of the older ones that left or we couldn't agree because they wanted me to drop a fee or multiple reasons. I, you know, I just, for me, it's a matter of taking care of your business and everything else takes care of itself. You know, there are down months and if you're sure. crushing it and you worked and you took care of that whole expansion, you go on vacation and feel good. You know, I don't like going on vacation wondering, you know, gosh, are my competitors going after my business? Am I being outworked? You know, are my clients not happy with the people they're getting? And for me, it's all about keeping them happy. And if they're happy, everything in my life is good. And so, you know, it just boils down to that. And my reputation of that, if you looked on my LinkedIn, all of my recommendations, they all kind of say the same thing. Works around the clock, wants to help people. He worked, helped me when it didn't even make him any money. You know, like I like helping folks and it builds your name. And, you know, when people are having their expansion, sometimes they just call me and, hey, I'm hiring five people. Will you help me? You know, and yeah, of course, you know, and it's come from that reputation of being that way. I don't go to trade shows. I try not to, you know, Pearl Harbor people at trade shows or you show up there. I'm working. And I want my clients to know I'm working, you know, I'm constantly looking, but getting the help I need. I got divorced in 18. My ex-wife, she's an excellent artist and, you know, she wanted to make more money. She knows what I do. I trust her. She's been working for me for almost 4 years. She's my best recruiter I've ever had. Best recruiter I've ever worked with. And part of it is because she knows how I work. And part of it is her wanting to be successful too. So she's works for me. I've got two other recruiters that work for me. But ultimately, your clients want to, they want to talk to you, and they want to know that you're doing the job. They want to know, you know, so a lot of times I talk to every candidate. And I, you know, even if they recruit them, I talk to everybody before they're submitted. And for me, I just feel better at night. If I had a bad day, I need to stay up and do it. And I feel like I owe that to my client. And so
okay.
I'll find someone at 2 in the morning, and then I sleep great. And, you know, it's maybe that day I get up at 8 o'clock that morning, you know. But you know, it's a very odd method. I'm probably the only human being that does it. But it's worked for me.
It's rare, that's for sure.
It is. I don't suggest it.
It is rare. So, yeah, like from a health point of view, it doesn't sound sustainable. But, I mean, I can't argue with your results, Vince. Listen, I want to circle back still to – I'm still – my brain hasn't let go of this 70 people in a month or 2 months, I guess. They wanted to start them in 2 months, but then people need to resign and they might have a two-week notice or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
How do you recruit 70 people in a month or
yeah,
two?
Yeah, and you asked that earlier. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
That was a rare scenario. Awesome VP actually have recruited for his wife too at her companies, and I've actually placed her before. Just amazing people, and I told him, like, you're gonna have to hire fast. So if I give you somebody, you're gonna have to interview them really fast. And so I posted the jobs. There's a website called MedReps, and that's where all those medical sales rep jobs are posted. Not all of them, but I pay to post mine there. I'll get 30 resumes in a day on one particular job. 90% of them are not a fit. But then I post something on LinkedIn. I have a group on LinkedIn that has 10,000 members.
Oh, cool.
It's a molecular diagnostic search, you know, and if I post jobs there and on LinkedIn, people let everybody know Vince has jobs, and then bam. And then when I have a job and our company's got, you know, all these people say, I talk to somebody and their company's having layoffs. Well, they tell all their friends at that company, Vince has jobs. You know, a lot of us in this industry are known as Vince, you know, you got your Vince and Daves, and everyone knows us almost by first names, you know, and so it's like Vince okay, has the jobs cool. right now. And so they come to us and you tell them, hey, this is the job. It happened to pay well. It's a startup. People like startups. Mm-hmm. The sad thing about that one. And I told him too, and I never charge retainers ever, ever, ever. But I said, if I'm going to be doing this work, I'm obviously going to be up to the wee hours. You know, could I get half of it down? And they wired half of it. Fantastic. But they laid off, I think 90% of them 6 months later. So it was a startup that wasn't really ready.
Right. Right.
That's out of our control. And some people get upset with you, but it's like, they all know too, that I don't go visit these folks, you know, and sometimes with a startup, you know, that stuff happens, but yeah,
sure.
You know, and I still talk to all of those, most of those people today, and have placed them several times. It's such a small space and small world in the medical sales world.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Do you mind sharing what the fee was for that project?
Well, my normal fee is 25%, but that
right.
one, I did a flat fee at $9,000 because okay. of the amount of people it was.
Of course.
You know, and, you know, then you have to pay your recruiters and everybody that helped. And so, yeah.
That's over $600,000.
Yeah, yeah. And it was a one shot, though. I never did anything for them again. 3 years later, they came back to me saying they wanted to do it again. And I was like, you sure? And so we did it again, but it was only like 20 reps. And I did the work for a week. And then they put it on a freeze and they never did it again. And I said, all right, I'm good.
Right.
But I never did business with them again. It would have been nice to, I would rather have a nice long client, you know, stretch it out. But man, that was an awesome situation at the time, and it was great. And I'm glad everybody recovered quickly and got new jobs later on, and you know, it worked out okay. But yeah, that was a win for sure.
Hey, resilient recruiters. I hope you can tell by now I love the recruitment industry, and I'm working really hard to produce excellent content and give you value. Having been a recruiter myself, I know how rewarding it can be. I also know how tough it can be. I'm on a mission to reach as many recruiters as possible and have a positive impact on their careers and their businesses. If I can help you make more placements, that means you're improving more lives, and together we can have a real positive impact on the world. The biggest thing you can do to support me on this mission is please take a couple of minutes and leave me a review. Then send an email or LinkedIn message to let me know so I can thank you personally. So I want to ask you some, you've given a few hints, and I just want to tie up some rapid fire questions here, Vince, because, and I'm going to start doing this more often. By the way, I've had this feedback from our listeners. People want to know the certain things about my guests. So first of all, retained or contingent? You've already said you typically work contingent, but why is that?
Because I'm not afraid of my talent. So if you're going to give me a job,
yeah,
I don't care, as long as you don't give somebody else a retainer. But then you're not going to work with me anyway, right? So
right,
I have this mentality where if I fill the job, I deserve to be paid. And
okay,
now,
but what if, so Vince, what if they give you the job, you work it, you come up with viable candidates, excellent people, you do your thing, you work, you know, because you always produce, right?
Yep.
And then they go, oh, actually, Vince, never mind. We decided we're not going to, you know, hire those folks after all.
Oh, happens all the time. It's the cost of doing business. And okay, I'm talking about sales jobs, sales management yep. jobs. Now, VP level, different yep. story.
Okay.
VP level, C-level searches, all retainer. Marketing,
okay, got it.
You know, you want to hire a marketing manager, sales manager, mm-hmm. sales rep. I don't do that. Most people don't do it on the sales side anyway. But as you do get higher, that's when you try to get that retainer. But yeah.
Okay. Makes sense. Yeah. Okay. I get it. And team size and structure for your business, you alluded to, you've got a couple of recruiters. One, by the way, I was surprised that your ex-wife is your best recruiter.
Yeah.
I tried working with my wife. We just couldn't make it. It didn't make for a happy marriage, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So we decided to keep it separate. But so how many people have you got on the team, and what are their roles?
It's Vince? Probably because we don't live together, right? But but no, yeah, it's, and I have three people that help, but one is like helping when I have an expansion.
Okay.
I don't want to give away searches. I don't want to. And if I'm recruiting 12 jobs a month, we can mm-hmm. handle that.
Okay.
And I don't need the
is
help.
Is that the normal? Is that like a normal? Is that what you, we like your optimum
I normally
number of searches?
Have 10 jobs a month to fill. You know, and 8 to 10 of them get filled. Every once in a while, someone turns in an employee referral or somebody applies online and they just happen to get the job. But you know, most of the time I fill them, and it's because I work really hard. But all the people that I know, you know, they shut it off at 5:30. They got to keep their sanity, right? So, you know, they'll dial it in. I heard one of your guys, the aviation guy, he said, you know, the work will be there tomorrow. And it's true. A friend of mine, you know, told me that the work will be there tomorrow. I'm not worried about it. But man, there's always people going after your business. There's always a manager out there saying, man, I don't have enough candidates from Vince. Maybe we should open this up to other recruiters. Like, that is my nightmare, would be somebody saying, we need another recruiter in addition. Now, I may start dialing it down as I get older, but, you know, that competitive fire has not died yet. So,
but Vince, you don't have to dial it down, but you could get more help so that, yeah, you're making... You're giving some of the placement value
yeah.
to a team member, right? But it also means you're able to serve your clients, and you don't have to work till 2 a.m.
I may be a bad manager, right? I had a friend of mine that okay. worked. He opened up a firm. He's more of a manager, I feel. And he's got 10 people underneath him, you know, so he probably, I don't know what he makes, but I would assume less, but probably has way more sanity than I do. you know, every time I've hired somebody, you know, sick the first 3 out of 10 days, and it's, I, you know, even my number one competitor guy, he doesn't have anybody, works by himself, sits in his house in his office all day and crushes calls, makes it happen. A lot of our clients trust us, and like, sometimes we do sniper recruiting. Friends at the firm I worked for, they used to make fun of me because I'd turn in one or two and they would get the job, and they'd be like, you can't sniper recruit, you know? And but sometimes, you know, a lot of searches, I know someone in that area that's an absolute stud, rock star, and I'll put them in, and they'll have somebody that works there that also worked for that company, knows them, or it's easy to get a covert reference, and they get hired like that. So a lot of times it's not this long process. You know,
I understand.
Every industry is different too, right? So, and every recruiter is different. I know a recruiter that, you know, has a very long process. Her clients have like 5 different interviews. They stretch them out once a week. Takes a while. Most of my clients, if I turn someone in and they like them, they're interviewing them the next day. If that person likes him, the next call is Monday, Tuesday, and then the finals Thursday. You know, it's like that. Most of my clients are like that.
So, Vince, the guy you referred to, Aviation, that was Craig Pickens.
Yes.
I think that's who you mean, right? Yeah. You shared with me that you enjoyed his
episode.
He
said a lot of things I agree with and that I do. Yeah. You know, a lot of it reminded me of me, except his CrossFit and things that he does that I don't. I'm more of a sports guy, but he gets up early and, you know, he has that worry. He kept talking about being worried. I'm always worried. I'm always like, what do I need to do today? What do I need to do? Is that manager happy? You know, is that HR manager happy? You know, does she like me? Am I doing what she, you know, it's like, I constantly want to make sure that people are good. And if they're good, they're never going to not use you. But if they're like, eh, I can't get a hold of him, eh, his candidates are, eh, you know, I don't feel like he works hard. You know, I think we need another crew. You're gone. And that's the way it goes in our industry. You know, there's 10 other
Got
people
it.
Calling them every week.
Of course. Yeah. It's competitive for sure. And then that's, you know, recruiting has just become more and more competitive. And we're competing with other agencies, but also clients want to try and do the talent acquisition themselves, at least the bigger ones, maybe not the startups, but the bigger ones, you know? So yeah, it's competitive. I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
In terms of, so coming back to, we've talked about retained versus, you want them exclusive though, right? So they're contingent, but they're exclusive.
Absolutely.
What do you say to make sure that they're not going to give this job to other recruiters?
I say, hey, you know, I have the honest conversation because I want to know, make sure it's going to be a fit for both of us. And, you know, I'll ask, are you using anybody else? Yeah, we're using this one firm, but there's always a but, right? Or they wouldn't be talking to me. And I'd say, you know, what do I need to do to do this on my own? Well, you need to win over the CEO first. Let's win these. Let's place these jobs and then maybe you'll take those away. And it's like, oh, game on, let's go. Give me those. And so, you know, I take those searches and we, you know, and it's not about just getting a candidate. I am very picky. We make sure that person checks out. And a lot of times there are times where I've never heard of that person before. And we'll make calls to find out, hey, are they legit? And sometimes they find out later on that, you know, they had a bad reputation, but most of the people that we put in, I mean, we've checked all of them. And normally, you know, we only turn in people that we know have a good reputation. So very picky, but I'm able to reach a lot of people quick. I mean, you could see if I post a job tomorrow in Albany, you know, I'll have 25 likes and, you know, within a couple of hours, and the word gets out there. And so when I have something in Atlanta or San Francisco, you know, it really gets out there quick.
So, I love it. This is cool. Yeah. Awesome. So
you got to make a name for yourself though, Mark. You got, you know,
okay.
That's what's huge for someone coming into this. You got to be a little out there, but you got to build it.
making a name for yourself. There's a topic. I've just written that down. We're going to circle back to that. We've talked about team size. So it sounds like you've got team members who you bring in. Are they freelance then? You only, bring them in when you need them, or?
Yeah. I've got people that have recruited in the past and they don't want to work full time. And okay. They're like, give me a search when you have it and I'll give them okay. one. I've got my friend up north that recruits. If he's light, he always has people to plug in. And we're in the same space. If I say I'm struggling in San Diego, do you have anyone? I'll split it, or I'll give you 5 or 10K. You don't have to do anything. Boom. He fires me the resume.
Cool. Now, all right. That makes sense.
A lot of people in my space belong to a group. I found this out through him and other people, and it's a group, a large network, and they all post their jobs in there. They're not allowed to touch each other's client, but they're all allowed to help each other and get splits. I won't do it though. I heard they take large fees from you to do the whole thing. And, if I need it, it's there. But those kinds of groups are out there. I've never needed it. Thank the Lord.
And tech stack, what technology are you using to do your business?
Well, I've got software program that keeps it all in my computer system. There's mm-hmm. I use a company. Do people release that stuff on here?
Well, if you want to, if you don't want to, it's up to you. But people love
hearing software. There's a lot of recruiting software. There's probably hundreds. I've been using the same group for 12 years. And it's not that I'm like in love with them. I mm-hmm. hate change, and it works for me enough. I don't do anything fancy with it. And they do a lot of fancy things. I don't even know what it does. I just put my names in there. I keep my jobs in there. It works for me when I mark a placement. It's just easy software. But my whole database, all of the sales, what do you call them? The rosters. All the rosters are in there. Other people, it's probably got 25,000 people in there. And then I've got
And
I got LinkedIn as a backup.
Yeah.
But first I go with my software because it shows everybody I've recruited in that city. And I go down to that list first. And then I go to LinkedIn
So you have your database. You've got 25,000 people in there. And so that's your first port of call before you go to LinkedIn. That all makes sense. But is there any other technology that you're using either as part of your outreach to clients or candidates or to make your business more efficient?
I post my jobs on MedReps. A lot of people use MedReps and Indeed, but I don't. Indeed's just too broad. MedReps is straight medical. I like it, but the fees are going up. Everything's going up, right? And you have to adjust. A lot of my friends don't use it, but I find it very useful. So I have always used it. A lot of people go to the trade shows and things of that nature. But when it comes to the technology piece, it's software, it's job boards.
Yeah.
LinkedIn does a pretty good job and they're fairly priced. So, you got to go with what works, but I have enough people off that to where I can fill the jobs. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how are you reaching out to people though? Like whether it's clients or candidates, are you like picking up the phone? Are you sending emails? How are you doing business? Like what's your channels of communication?
You can't be afraid to pick up the phone and, you've got to find out, even if you know somebody well. I have friends in the industry I text with, Lisa in Chicago. I could just text her and say, now she's working for my client now, but when she wasn't, I could text her and say, hey, got a job with one of my best clients. You interested? Yes. Send me a resume. She doesn't even know what it is. Put it in. People trust me on that. Yeah. But I mostly call people. Because I want to find out what are they looking for? Why are you looking? I want to know why they're looking.
Of course.
Not what they're looking for really as much as why are you looking? Then I could find out. Because I don't need to tell them what I have. I want to find out why you're looking. If you're looking because you got a big territory and you want to make it smaller and this, and then I'll say, what's your territory? And you give me two states and this is two states. I don't need to get into my job. I can just say, oh, it's just two states. Never mind. I don't like my boss. My boss is a micromanager. Oh, this guy's a micromanager. She's not going to like this guy. You know, all right.
Right,
man,
right. Listen,
I can't fix that need. But man, you know, most of the time these folks have some, you know, they're honestly looking for reasons and I can fix those needs. And then it's like, all right, cool. But I do like to email too, just to say, hey, if you're looking, shoot me a resume and a time to talk tomorrow. And then I can
talk. Is it really that simple? Like that's what you'd write?
That's it. Now, most recruiters need to type more. I would say a lot of recruiters do type more and they'll put what it is. What does it pay? 401k, car allowance. They put all that stuff. I don't do that.
But is this, presumably these are people who are, you already, they already know you.
Yeah. Well, even, yeah. Well, you know, as long as they're in the oncology space or the diagnostic space, they probably know Dunn Search Group. So yeah, I will say that. Or I'll say, hey, are you interested in any new oncology opportunities? Or are you interested in an oncology opportunity? And then it's either yes or no. That's why I like doing this. I don't feel like I'm selling anything. You know, I'm not coming up to you with a vacuum. You know, I'm not writing drops, knocking on your doorbell, asking for money. I'm asking you if you need a new opportunity. And if you do, you're going to send me your resume. But you do get those people of the in-betweens that just want to know what you're working on. I try to avoid all that because I don't have time for that. You know, and a lot of people just want to know which competitor's hiring. And so you got to weed that out, which is, you know, it's kind of easy to do, right? You know, the telltale signs, but, you know, cause I don't want to waste any time. And so, you know, if they send you the resume, usually they're serious. And so, you know, you go from there.
This is starting to all fit together, Vince. I can see why, like you're working at a certain velocity, right?
Yeah.
And so you're doing things in a way that are speedy, right? And so, you know, you're short and to the point and you're not wasting time dancing around with someone who may or may not be interested. So tell me, so in terms of one last question about technology then, and then we'll move on. Are you using any tools to find like mobile phone numbers, email addresses, that kind of stuff? Or
No. And going back to the email piece, if I don't know them, I will say something like, I have, helped build over, you know, 4 or 5 dozen oncology teams over the last 11 years. So I know which companies to run to. And I also know which company they work for. So I know if I've got a better opportunity, right? I mean, I've recruited for a lot of those companies. So just going back to that piece, I often know if my job is better than their job, but they may be killing it over there and they don't want to move, but I still know if the company's doing better. Right.
Do you say that in an email? Like, would you point that out?
I just point what I've been doing and I name companies that I know are superior. I feel are superior, or that are on that level so that they know I've got, something good. They know that I know what I'm doing and I'm not calling them with something that's not worthy of that. You know what I mean?
Totally.
If I've got something that's kind of a C rate, like, you know, ABC level, I kind of rate them like ABCD. You know, I got an A+ opportunity, you know, or, you know, I've got a B+ opportunity. So you know, that's kind of how that works. But, you know, it's a lot of just knowing everybody knows. We all kind of know it's a small space. So that's kind of the game, you know, you're playing in the beginning. And then your next question, I'm so sorry, my ADD kicked in.
No, that's all right. So, you mentioned earlier that you try and work around 10 jobs a month, right? So how many deals would you be doing a month?
When you say deal, do you mean placements?
I mean placements. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, there's a month, the summer months, you got June, July, August.
Yeah.
There's not a lot going on, but the hot months, which are September, October, November, December, all the way till May, it's anywhere from 5 to 15.
And then 5 to 15 jobs or placements.
And then last year, for example, I built a team of 28. That's one company.
Okay.
Another client did 10.
Yeah.
Another client did 15. And then I had like another one. It's like five. I've had a bad year. My worst year was 18, the year I got divorced. My stepdad had passed away like 3 months later. And I was not in a good place. So that 18, 19 was cruddy. And then you had COVID hit. But I made it through all of that. And then 2023 was the best. 2022 and 23 were the two best years I ever had. Because everyone was starting to hire again.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. So what would be an average fee worth for you, Vince?
20% of base salary. So 20 to 25% of base salary. But I normally give people a deal if they're doing an expansion. They're only using me.
Yeah.
So I'll drop it down a lot. You know, I'll drop an expansion down. And so average fee over a course of a year is somewhere near 20.
Okay. Wow. That's cool. That's I love this. And you said something about you need to make a name for yourself. And you've alluded to that a few times that, you know, within the, sales biotech world, people know Vince Dunn. And I've already had some clues about how you do that because your, you know, orientation to delivery and producing and, you know, doing whatever it takes to serve your clients and make sure that they're happy, you know, that obviously builds a reputation over time, as well as the number of placements you're making means that a lot of people know you and have had a good experience with you. Are there any other keys to making a name for yourself?
Man, I find that it's really just meeting good people and making sure that you just take care of them. And then also asking for their referrals. So you've got to, when you're done with an expansion, you absolutely have to ask people, hey, do you know any other managers? You know any other senior level people that I could maybe expanding or may need, even if it's one hire, I don't care. And then, you know, they'll introduce you. I also ask for a recommendation sometimes on LinkedIn and, you know, just little hits, you know, things like that. But you got to ask for referrals. And then I really go above and beyond for my clients. They see me emailing candidates over at 1 a.m. They see what I'm doing. And then they produce, and then they go to their CEO saying, the CEO's over there going, hey, do you need any more help? And it's like, no, Vince has it. A lot of it is that, man, it's just taking care of people. You got to take care of people.
Taking care of people, helping people. That's a common thread throughout this whole conversation, Vince. Can you give me your verbiage for asking for referral? Like, what do you, first of all, the timing, when do you ask? And secondly, what exactly do you say?
When asking for a referral, it's just straight up. Hey, you know, I just straight up ask. Mm-hmm. I mean, hey, do you know anybody else that's hiring, Greg? You know, now that I'm finished with this, I'll miss you. Let me know when you're hiring again. So, I love doing business. You know, anyone else? Then I'll go to each of the, I may even go to the managers, you know, hey, enjoyed it. Send him a Christmas gift. I enjoyed it. And, you know, any of your other manager friends in the industry, look and please let them know. And a lot of times they don't want you recruiting for the competitor, but they still know other people out there, you know?
Exactly. And so timing wise, are you asking immediately after the successful conclusion of whatever you were doing for them? Or like, when does that call happen?
As soon as I'm done, as soon as I am done with an expansion, I do it. Sometimes when I'm getting close to, like if I'm like 2 weeks before I'm done with an expansion, I'll start putting those seeds in their head, you know, and, you know, and sometimes if I'm down to three jobs with them, I'll ask, you know, there's really no wrong time to ask. Except for when you're absolutely slammed. You know, if you're absolutely swamped, then I don't bother with it. But when things are getting light and then you're getting to the end, then I ask, you know.
Okay.
And right. people are receptive to that. So, you know, they want to help you. If you're helping them, they want to help you.
Vince, what's the biggest challenge or adversity that you faced during your career?
The biggest challenge? I would say the biggest challenge is not burning bridges. And, you know, I've probably in earlier in my career, you know, when you're young, you're kind of more aggressive and you got to learn people's style and, you know, being competitive and being aggressive, sometimes you'll piss people off, you know, and, you know, you gotta work hard and you're competitive and you want, you know, but some, there's times where I wish I would have backed out a little bit. Like, a client says, "Hey, that came from an employee referral. That's not your placement. We're not going to pay you on that." And I know in my heart that it came from me and that I did my job and that they're just wanting to pay a cheaper referral fee out. And you know, and I get all that, but there's times where I just stood my ground and I ruined that relationship where I could have just taken the high road and said, "Cool." And I should have. And I look back now and I would have done it different.
Ah, this is a tough one, Vince. I'm with you. I feel like people need to shoot straight. And do I want that? Do you want the relationship if they cheat you out of a fee?
Yes and no.
I feel like I would be quite stubborn about that as well.
Well, on a startup company with people that don't have the reputation yet, no, I don't want to mess with that. I'll leave in a second. But a bigger company, that's not going anywhere. And it's just a matter of like biting the bullet on one or two. Yeah. I'll give you an example. There's a company now out there. They know who they are. I built their whole division of this other division. And there were three or four jobs they didn't want to pay me on. And they wanted to give employee referrals. On top of that, they told me I couldn't contact any of the people I placed there and ask them, "Hey, who do you know?" I always talk to people that I placed. "Hey, I got another job in California. Strange. Do you know anybody else looking? I appreciate it." And they always help me.
Yes.
Well, yeah. I wasn't allowed to do that either. And so, and then there was a company that also, this is all at the same time. There was a company that went under and they said, "Don't call those reps. We'll call them." And it's like, geez, they're cutting my legs out here. So I'm like, what am I doing here? So, you know, that company, I said something and I, you know, no, we don't have that relationship anymore. And now they're hiring 40 people for a new division. And, you know, they gave it to this other recruiter who's.
But Vince, I don't want that business and you're doing great without them, right?
It's still competitive and you're like, it's still in this space. But you know what I don't want? I don't want to do it for them because my number one client keeps me busy and they're in that space and I don't want it because most recruiters don't turn down business like that, but I do. I don't recruit for people who compete against companies that are taking care of me. So, okay. You know, they compete. They think they're going to, I think they're like on the verge of competing against them. So it's not the end of the world to do it. But yeah, I understand. And believe me, I've burnt, I don't not say burnt bridges, but I've told people to pound sand that have done that. "Hey, we're going to pay that referral fee on that," or whatever it is. And it's happened to every recruiter. We've all dealt with it. And, you know, most people are good at, you know, just being quiet. And earlier in my career, I would have said something. And, you know, I would think that later in my career, maybe I would have bit the bullet on a couple of accounts that, you know, but I'd say that's, you know.
I don't know. Vince, I think what you do is what makes you successful and your personality and the whole package. I don't think that is a mistake. My friend Rich Rosen is very much, he's just always brutally honest with clients, with candidates. He tells them what he thinks about an opportunity, about a company, about, you know, and what that means is people trust him.
Oh,
because
he's
honest. He tells people what they think and he doesn't, you know, kiss up to people. And I think that's part of why people trust your you know, when you say something, they believe you.
Yeah, I like to think that, and I've stuck with that model, you know. It's definitely worked for me, but, and I like, and you make me feel better about it, but, there's just a few, I landed a billionaire client before, he actually a really impressive man that started Groupon. He's in the cancer space. Okay. And I called him one day and he said, "Oh, you work for all these companies? You built all those?" Yeah. "I'll put you in touch with Ryan." And I landed that deal. And then, you know, they brought over, you know, a lot of people, and, you know, something, you know, wasn't connecting. And, you know, they ended up hiring so many people. And, you know, I was a straight shooter then. And I'm hopefully we both, you know, I respect them, and, you know, hopefully they respect me too, but it just didn't work out, you know. And I don't know. Sometimes I go back. Was I too stubborn, you know? But
I don't know. Like, we all make mistakes, but at the same time, what we teach our clients is to find your ideal client partners, right? And you can't work with everybody. You want to work with the ones that are, it's a good partnership, and that works both ways, that you're serving them and delivering and producing at a high level. And at the same time, they're treating you as a trusted advisor with respect. They honor their commitments to you. Yeah. And if it's not a good fit, then walk away, right?
There's, oh, yeah.
As you said, there's like...
I've done it so many times. And and it's a shame because a lot of these people, they go on to different companies and you're like, man, what could have been, you know? They go on to other companies and they're expanding, and you're like, wow, now they work for a company that is good. And you're like, did I burn that? You know? And
yeah, it's funny. This is the competitive. You just want all the business. You're like,
I mean, hilarious. I do, but I don't. I don't want main competitors of my favorite clients. And I don't want to make them mad. They've been great to me. Why in the world would I want to upset them or make them feel I'm not loyal to them, you know?
You don't want to kill the golden goose.
Yeah. And they're also become friends, you know? These are people that, you know, I would love to meet outside of work, you know, and have. Mm-hmm. It's personal too. And, 95% of it isn't, but you've got those 5% of clients that you would do anything for. And so, you know, I don't feel bad for that, but you still also, you try to keep that positive image out there. And, you know, when you're aggressive and you're number one, not to say that I'm number one, but, you know, I feel that I would put my book of business up against anyone's in the country. You know, when you're that guy or girl or lady, you can't help but to piss people off. You know, a guy told me this one time, never used me before. I tried to get his business. He's never used me. And I told him, I was like, you know, is it, I knew he knew someone that wasn't a fan. And I was like, hey, is it because of your, you know, did I not, you know? And he was like, look, man, you've always been the leader, a leader in this space. If people aren't talking about you, you're not doing your job. And he's like, so no, it has nothing to do with it, man. You know, I just used three other recruiters. Don't want to bother you, you know? And it's like, hey man, you're not bothering me. You know, I'll come in there and see if I can win you over, you know? But, someone give me little nuggets like that, man. I take that stuff with me. He told me that probably 12 years ago, and I still remember that today. So, you
know, fantastic. Yeah.
I mean, to remember that when I'm being a little bit aggressive, you know?
Look, if you're not getting some rejection and pushback and, pissing some people off, you're probably not taking enough action, right?
Oh yeah, totally. If you're not out there in the mix and making things happen, then, you know, you're definitely, you're not talked about. You're not, your name's not going anywhere. But when you're out there doing it, and a lot of times if a manager says, man, I got to fill 5 jobs in a month, or my manager, my VP is going to be really upset if I don't hit my quota, it's like, hey, let's call Vince, right? I'm the guy up till 2 a.m. I'm the guy who's going to give you your people, or sick to my stomach. Like, I'm going to do it. And you're not just going to get some, you know, hack. You're going to get a winner. You're going to get an absolute superstar. And if you don't get one, you know, you're eventually going to. I'll give you good candidates till I find the great one, or maybe everyone likes that one. But, man, I am on the hunt for that superstar. And man, I will work until it is done. So, you know, that's what they know they're getting with me. And you gotta, and I feel like you have to do that. Now, I know people in this recruiting world that do very well, and they're quiet, and they're slower, like they're more methodical, they're technical. Yep. It's not me. And they do very well. It works for them, you know?
Definitely.
I don't know if they're making as much.
Like that as well.
But I also heard that people that do that, the two people I know that are the slowest, they won't work for under 25%. They try to get 30%. So maybe they're working slower and it works for them and they make a better fee than I do, you know? So everyone's got their own path and, you know, you got to take it. But, you know, being a recruiter is not for everyone. If you want to make six figures as a recruiter, you better be competitive. You have to have some competitiveness in you. And you better be really client-oriented. You got to care. I not only care about my clients, like as cheesy as this may sound, I may not only care about my clients, I care about like the cancer industry and patients and, you know, everyone getting the right care. And man, I want people to do well. And you know, if I know this client is awesome, their products are great and they're doing really well, you know, I tell people that, like, you should really look at their research, talk to people about them and see what they're doing, you know? So you got to really care. I didn't care about insurance. And although I really did do well there, it's because that was all competitive. I didn't care though. And I didn't make a lot of money. You don't make a lot of money, you know, doing in the industry I did in insurance, not that insurance. But in this world I'm in now, I care about what I do. Like, I love what I do. I love the people I work with, man. I love my clients. There are clients that aren't, I don't love as much, but like, man, my core, like 10, man, I'll do anything for them. And they know that. And so, you know, you gotta have 10 good clients. I feel like they're not all hiring at once and some don't hire for years on end. But man, when they do, they're not talking to anybody else, you know?
10 good clients. There you go. Vince, that was a fun conversation. Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, you bet. I really appreciate you having me on. It was fun.
Good. I'm glad. Have an awesome day.
You do the same. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Resilient Recruiter. I know how busy recruiters are, so I'm honored that you're investing this time with me each week. I don't take your attention for granted. That's why I'm going all out to deliver value for you here, real insights you can apply to improve your business. And if you really want to help me to reach a wider audience and impact more people, please consider leaving the show a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you leave me a review, please reach out and let me know so I can thank you personally. Please hit the subscribe button and I'll see you next time.